Well, good morning. Well, my name is Pastor Mark, and I am Ellie's better-looking half. Is that... No? I'm not going to start like this. Well, good morning. Welcome to church. We're super excited, and what a fantastic kids' little video there. Amen. Well, this is a privilege and an honor to have so many pastors in church this morning. I don't know if God ordained that, but I'm praying this morning that you are refreshed and you are blessed. And if you decide to go into the city while you're in town, don't have any luggage in your car. Okay? Got it? Amen. Awesome. Let me pray. Lord, we just thank you for this awesome opportunity to come together this morning, Lord, as the body of Christ, Lord, the family of God. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of the biological family being able to come together and celebrate. But Lord, we thank you right now for this spiritual family of God. Lord, as we come together in unity to lift up the one name, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, on that foundation, Lord, we are able to, Lord, not just live a life and life to the full, Lord, but live a life of purpose. Lord, of reaching people with this great good news that we have. Lord, we thank you again for this privilege. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we had, as a church, a fantastic 2025. I will confess, not every year has been smooth sailing. There's been ups and downs. It's kind of like surfing in big surf conditions. Or at a roller coaster. Some Sundays are just unbelievable and you just celebrate what God's doing, and some seasons are like that. But then there are other seasons where it seems like everybody decides to go crazy and you're trying to work out what's left from right, what's up from down, and it's a real roller coaster ride. But one thing that doesn't change in that whole process is who Jesus is the foundation that we have in Jesus. And so we are, as a church, very grateful for everything that God has done in 2025. But we are also very expectant for what God is going to do in 2026. Doesn't that sound crazy? We're already saying 2026. Man, it's gone so quick. So this morning I'm going to start with some scripture. And this is less of a message, but this is more a testimony to the goodness of God. It's us as a church taking time to thank God for what he has done over this journey in this last season. So if you turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. Luke 17. It should be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I can just imagine putting myself in their shoes and the desperation of their cry with leprosy, knowing that that's a death sentence. You can just imagine the intensity of that cry for Jesus to heal them. Have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go and show yourselves to the priest. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? As Jesus said to this man, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. I love this principle in scripture of having a grateful heart for what God's done. I don't think there's a Sunday that goes by or even a midweek where I actually live at the top of this hill here and I get this fantastic view of Mount Diablo as I drive down and I see just how beautiful this area is in which we live, but more specifically who God's called us to reach. Amen. And it's just a privilege to be here. For those of you who don't know, our journey started, the American part of this journey started in Australia. We were in a season of somewhat confusion, not sure if our ministry season was coming to an end. And Ellie and I made the decision. I went for a walk. And I was going to pray and say, God, speak to me. Am I still supposed to stay at this church? And lo and behold, as the story unfolds, I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Mark, what do you want to do? And I'd never been asked that question or felt that impression. The voice of God that I knew in my life to that point was the same voice of God that spoke to me in that moment. I said, God, you know what? I feel like my season is finished. And we'd been in the church. We're not church hoppers, but we'd been in the church, Ellie, 22 years and myself, 10. And when I got home, I told Ellie, I said, I really feel I've got a word from God. I feel like our season is finished. And I knew the implications of that and what that would mean. And then Ellie just burst into tears. So I gave, as she burst into tears, my phone rings. And it's a friend that I haven't spoken to in over a year, a guy by the name of Andrew Kabar. And he says, Mark, this is going to sound really crazy, but God just spoke to me. I'm praying right now. God just spoke to me. And he told me to call you to tell you to quit your job. Literally in that moment. So then I started crying. And I gave the phone to Ellie, and it was just a beautiful moment of God's confirmation that his gentle hand was helping us transition through. We told our pastor, and as we sat there in the office, he said, and he had received our resignation, he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, and I don't know why I said this, but something just came, it was like a download from God. And I said, we're moving to America. Ellie's like, what? The look on Ellie's face was the best part of that. We didn't know a single soul in America, but I just had this sense from God that it was going to happen. And a couple of days later, we get a phone call, and sure enough, God opened a door, and it was just a supernatural divine door. And then the journey just continues and continues. And then we move out here. And again, I say we did give up. We didn't lay down, but we had to lay down our biological family. But thank God for the spiritual family and the role that the spiritual family plays. We don't get to see our biological family as much, but it's still a joy and a privilege to be in the place that God's called us. The confidence and the peace that comes with that, you can't purchase that on Amazon. It's not on Amazon Prime, and it's not on Amazon 2 Hour. It's just not there. This is something that happens between you and God. And so I am grateful that God has continually interjected into the journey of exchange. And I wrote down a couple of thoughts here of what true gratefulness is. Gratefulness is the acknowledgement of the divine role that the Godhead plays in, through, and for our lives. That's what gratefulness is. It's more than a tip after a meal. This is something of more of who we are. Gratefulness is the acknowledgement of our complete dependency on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what gratefulness is. We are truly grateful because we are dependent on Him. John 15:5 says, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's that acknowledgement, that gratefulness, that I have complete, utter dependency on my relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you have a trouble with gratefulness, if that's just not part of your routine, then, or it's not part of your worship or prayer life, then here's a fantastic scripture in Psalms 51:15, and it says, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. That my mouth may praise you. There is definitely a lot of competition from your thoughts to speak. True? There's a lot of competition for me to confess stuff that is anti-God's promises for my life. And usually those things come from circumstances. It comes from the reality of what I'm in. But as we like to say here, facts are subservient to faith. because God's word is true. We believe that it's by faith that we can overcome some of those mountains. And so our confession as a church will not be down to the lowest common denominator, or will not be down to the challenge or the mountain that we're facing, but it will be up to God's promises and God's word. And we're believing as we confess our way to what God has for us, that we'll always hold on to that, because we're not going to be held accountable to what happens, the reality of what happens. We'll be held accountable by God because of our faith, that we had unwavering faith like Abraham. That's the kind of faith that we want to have in 2025. Many of you know we've got a new building, and it's pretty exciting. 2026 is going to get really interesting in terms of what God does. But it's not the building that's exciting. It's the faith to get the building that was exciting. That's the exciting part, the faith that's in this house and what God's doing. It's that people chose to believe. We're a church of two spies, not the 10 spies that had the negative reflections on everything that went good and wrong. And thank God, if you've seen the building, there's plenty of 10 spy opportunities to go, woo, okay, you really do need a miracle. But thank God for a church full of two spy-minded people that actually see the potential of what God's doing in this area. They see the lost people. They see the restored relationships. They see people just discovering Jesus, which is the real treasure of Exchange Community Church, introducing people to who he is. But what an amazing journey it's been for us to arrive in America and then get to meet all of you people and start Exchange Community Church on a God word. I would encourage you, if you're going to ever do anything for God, get the God word with it, because when it gets tough, that's the foundation you stand upon. Not the good idea or the thought of how awesome it would be to preach, because I'll promise you this, you might preach, you might have four or five good ideas for preaching, but then there's another 40 Sundays that are going to come at you, so you have to have a relationship with Jesus and a word from God. We started Exchange Church by faith in 2026, and we had been helping a local church in Walnut Creek here in Alamo, New Life Church, great church, we love it, and the pastors released us and said, hey, yep, I mean, this is a fantastic pastors. They supported us for a year, and we're only 1 mile up the road. That's a kingdom-minded pastor. And he said to us, Mark and Ellie, go to our 5 services on Sunday and get as many people as you can. That was his verbiage. That's a man of God. And so we did. And we were told by some of the church models that it's not wise to plant a church in summer because everybody's in Tahoe. So we thought maybe we start the church in Tahoe and then. No, we had a God word, and God said, you know, I want to defy the logic of human reasoning and man's logic. And we just really felt to launch over summer. Silliest thing you could do. But it turns out it wasn't, because God was in it and God breathed on it and God moved amongst. And Exchange Community Church was launched in a movie theater downtown Walnut Creek. We hired out 2 theaters, one for the big people and one for the little people. Little people all hung down the bottom of the movie theater, and we all hung at the top, and it was great. One of the things I love about the movie theater, there was a pinball parlor machine, and I would come with a whole bag of quarters every week, and the kids would just go wild in the. So I think the kids were really bringing the parents to church at the early stages there. It was fantastic. We had to be out. I remember as part of this story, we had to be out by a certain time because the movies would come on. Obviously, it's a movie theater first, and I remember, blessed are the short-winded, because we would make our time and they shall be invited back to speak. But there was a lot of sweat when the long-winded spoke, because I just didn't know we were going to be able to get out in time. People are like eating their popcorn, walking in, looking at us carrying all of this equipment. What is going on here? After 2 years in the movie theater, then this is where the real journey starts getting wild. We had this awesome opportunity to move into this room right here, Parkmead Elementary. Both our boys grew up in Parkmead and did their whole schooling through the Walnut Creek School District. At the time, no one had been able to plant a church in the Walnut Creek School District. Some had tried, but got rejected. And what's awesome is God knows how to put the right person in the right place at the right time. We had a Rahab. We had a Rahab on the inside, hidden in the walls of Jericho. And that person on staff went to bat for us and was able to get us into this school. And for the first time, we had a location that was outgrowing the theater, and it was just absolutely wonderful. Parkmead, in case you don't know, didn't used to look like this. It was renovated, it's gone through its own journey. But we were just very grateful to be able to get in and break that ground. And then as a result of that, I believe a couple of other schools started to open up as well. And I want to also thank the generosity of Exchange Church. We did up the staff lounge. We bought fridges. We bought furniture. We have put on lunch twice a year for all of the staff. In fact, I think something that's also really exciting is I think 99% of our custodians have gotten saved and some gone on to get baptized, which is a great testimony of the people getting to interact with the wonderful people here. So after a few months of being in here, then we discovered that over the summer, they don't lease out the hall. So then we had to move and go somewhere else, which is quite the challenge in an area where venues are not readily available. And so we made the decision to move up the street to this wonderful church called Hillside Covenant Church. And they were so gracious. They opened their doors to us. The challenge was it was an evening service. And we had a lot of young families, and young families are taking care of their kids and preparing for school for the next day. And so although they were an incredible blessing, it wasn't our best location for us and time slot. So after the summer, we went back to Parkmead. And now that we're back in Parkmead, I believe we had a pretty good run there to 2019. But again, the summer came around and we had to move out again. And now we moved into the Renaissance Hotel in Walnut Creek. Anyone familiar with the Renaissance? This is a lot of ping-ponging going on here, back and forward. Now we're in the Renaissance. We've become masters of setting up church. We could set up a church in your backyard if you ask us nicely, we'll do it. We could have church in a parking lot at Target, even if we needed to. We met at the Renaissance, and that was for a couple of weeks. Then we left there, and we went to a new location called Creekside. It's the old Elks Lodge, which is just off South Main. And then after Elks Lodge, we went back to Parkmead, and that's where we grew to two services. The Ministry Centre lease was signed. Everybody remember the Ministry Centre? That was a great season of ministry. And what we didn't know is as we acquired that, we would have had no location. Then COVID hits. How good is God? We just in the right time signed a lease for a 2,500 square foot location in downtown Walnut Creek, right across from Kepler's Golf, that we could use to film as our service shifted to online due to COVID. Now, COVID was a wild season. It was the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed. I'm just going to say it and get it all off my chest right now. The masked versus the unmasked. It was the, it was a lot. And people are pretty opinionated in America. I love it. I learned very opinionated. And we were online for a season there. But then Katie Attenbury got married. And thanks, Ryan. We appreciate that. It was a great move. It's a great move for the church. And we discovered this wedding reception place in the hills of Lafayette called Wildwood Acres. And this became a wonderful outdoor venue for us to have church. And what was great about that location was the drop-off point of our equipment was quite a journey uphill. So we could have changed our name. We considered it to Exchange CrossFit Community Church. It was a high possibility, but we did not. But carrying large subs and screens and so forth, it shows you how faithful people have been in this journey, that are willing to give up their time. People could have easily just found a location that has a great this and a great that, but I think people recognize that this was not the Marcinelli show, that God was doing something here. There's an expression of his church that he wants in this area. And we've always said, you know, we're not trying to differentiate ourselves as a church. I don't think you should do that. I think your vision should be the Bible. Yeah. Amen. The only differentiate should be in the style. The message shouldn't change, but the method can. So we were very committed to that location for a season there. We had a combination of meeting outdoor in this beautiful wedding reception location. Then we were at our ministry center where we'd pack in 45 services on a Sunday. That's a lie, about four or five. I can't remember. And we're also online. Then we got to back to Parkmead in 2021, which is great. And we had our longest stretch there until local politicians decided that they wanted to do this thing called Measure J. And Measure J is the government saying we want to upgrade our schools, we want to do these different things. So the way I understood it through my biblical eyes was to say the people of Walnut Creek want to do up and renovate our semi-permanent location while we're looking for our permanent location. And they voted yes, so they did. Look what the community did for us as a church, isn't this? It's actually very wonderful. Thank you, Parkmead. So because of the upgrade, we moved over to Merwood, another school. By this time, if you can find where we are as a church, you deserve to be at Exchange Church. I will say one of our close friends said to us, they don't know of a church that didn't close down, that didn't have a permanent building over the COVID period. Yet God, so faithful, and here we are on the other side celebrating what God's done. We moved to Merwood. That was wonderful. I will say there were some furry little friends in that location. That's as far as we'll go on that. And it was great. We thank God for the privilege of having that. But again, they had to go through their thing. So then we moved to Tice, which is the next school over that way. That turned out to be quite the challenge. Tice Elementary, because there was renovations were going on, there's a thing called Key Spot, which is after school care, pre and after. They left all their stuff. We thought we were going to get a summer of love and a summer of relaxing where we'd leave all our equipment up because everything's, no one's meeting. But no, Key Spot was in there. People served, bump in or set up was 2.5 hours. Tear down was 1.5 hours. That means it's 4 hours of work to do a 1 hour 15 service. How faithful are the bump in team, the bump out team doing that. And we had a wonderful summer. We grew in Tice and God has just again been so faithful. Then after that, we moved back to the Renaissance Hotel. My fun part was meeting the events coordinator and she was going through all of the, now we can do this, this, this. And I'm just thinking to myself, you have no idea how much setup power we have been doing for this last year. Actually, no, you don't want to do that. You want to move this here and you can do that. It was very fun. Then after we finished the Renaissance, we've now in 2025 come back to Parkmead, which was the beginning of a new season for Exchange. I believe we are reaping the rewards of faithfulness right now, of the faithfulness of not quitting and not giving up and trusting God, and now seeing God move is just absolutely wonderful. We went, that was in September of 2025. This September, Exchange Community Church officially purchased 1031 Leland Drive for $3.35 million, which is officially putting a stake in the ground as a church. What's exciting about that is the church gave us an amazing deal where we don't pay any interest for the first 3 years. We pay $10,000 a month, which goes straight to the principal. It's an amazing deal. It's the favor of God. It's God saying, I'm going to make a way. It is a parting the Red Sea moment for us as a church. Now, we've got our U-Haul truck and our bins, and we're driving through currently right now. We've purchased the land, and we're still believing for the faith to possess the land, where we actually see this place renovated and God do all that he wants to do. But it's been a wild journey to get to this position where we're at, and I just kind of got this feeling God's only just getting started. God is willing this thing into existence. He's doing this. This is not because Mark and Ellie were gifted or experienced enough, or there's because of the wealth of people in the congregation or the lack of wealth. I think all of those things are subservient to the fact that it's the Holy Spirit moving. It's God turning people's hearts at the right time. I mean, who would have known? We had this lease in downtown Walnut Creek for the ministry center, and just in the right timing, God, however all the details worked out, the people that were also leasing the building above wanted our location and offered us a buyout lease, and we didn't feel a peace about it, so we sent back. They bought our lease out for $175,000, which was fair market, which is just, again, God's just got this supernatural way. If he wants something to happen in your life, he's going to make it happen. Don't let that be met with doubt. Don't let circumstance dictate the narrative. You know, I like to think where the story starts and where the story finishes is very important to my faith. If I start, and the enemy would love to start your story at your last or your biggest mistake. He wants to tell you and whisper into your ear, that is your legacy. That's your identity. That's who you are because of that mistake. And now you fight from. Your story starts at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And have the faith to not shut the door. If there's air in your lungs and if you're breathing air, then there's purpose to your life. That means that God is still telling his story through your life. There's still stuff that God wants to do. Amen. Don't try to slow down what God is speeding up. And don't try to accelerate that which God is wanting to slow down. Our encouragement as a church, if this is our testimony, is to run at the pace of faith. Don't try to open doors in your own strength. There was a lot of comments through the years of what people would tell us where we should be at, or we should be doing this, or we should be doing more of this. But honestly, we've just chosen to trust the Holy Spirit and to seek him in a community of wise counsel, and God faithfully speaks to the church, his church, and reveals what we're supposed to do. And you know what? It's the most freeing, liberating thing ever. It is absolutely a privilege to be a pastor because God's doing it. Now, obviously, we play a role, you know, in our obedience, in our sacrifice, in our faith. There's a role that we play. But it's the acknowledgement of the one leper coming back over this whole journey and saying, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done. I want to honor the whole kids team for the last season, come April, 10 years. The faithfulness to sit with kids, because we know our kids ministry is not a babysitting ministry. It's a foundation building ministry of young people. I've always said it this way. Kids can learn a whole language from the ages of 1 to 3. That's phenomenal how fast their brain. I think it is crucial that good, healthy, biblical doctrine and theology and their view of God is being shaped in a healthy manner and way. Kids ministry is so crucial to the future and the foundation, the formation, the foundation of a young person's life. So the role that our kids, people play, we don't see them as babysitters, we see them as builders, building into people's lives. I want to thank Henry and Esther. Henry and Esther for being a pivotal couple in the last season of the church, and challenging Ellie and I to lift our eyes in faith and to see what God has been calling on God, and not when we have a whinge. Oh, sorry, wrong word. What's the word here? When we complain. Chin wag. It's your chin, mate. About things, and we lose sight of what God's doing. This has been an awesome couple that have faithfully, even today, Henry finds out he's playing bass, and Henry plays bass today. Just such a loyal, faithful couple, and loyalty is such a key component of church building and church planting, to have consistency in what God's doing. So thank you for being that. Jeff and Eunice, for being just such an awesome couple in the house. There's a couple of key couples, the Katonas, the Kims, and have started this chocolate, and you heard the testimonies before of what they've done. But what I love about Jeff and Eunice is their heritage of their relationship and their intimacy with the Holy Spirit. They know and recognize the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And again, in seasons of church, to have a couple like this is just such a privilege, and love what God is doing in Zoe's life through worship leading. I mean, how articulate is she? She could have preached the message this morning if she wanted. So thank you very much for all that you do. I want to thank Kelsey. Is she in here? Well, both of you, but Kelsey gets here at 5. What time do we start bumping? 5:15, I think. Kelsey gets here in freezing cold, well, it's not cold, but Kelsey gets here and serves with a bunch of guys and helps set up the chairs that you're sitting on, builds the screens that you're looking at, and helps make everything happen on a practical level. And having that level of commitment, I don't even know what goes on down in the kids' ministry for the setup, but Kelsey just disappears and then comes back and it's all done, which is just wonderful to have. And in that same vein, I want to thank Lonnie, Oscar, and Rob Westerhoff for, and the faithfulness of helping, and the loyalty and the commitment of, again, setting up and making this thing happen. You know, we have a small but mighty team that makes this happen every week. My philosophy on the bump-in culture being a bump-in church, and this season is coming to an end. You do realize it's coming to an end. But having people faithfully for years, not it's a good idea for a month, for years and years, week in, week out, going through all the seasons of church, trusting that seasons will change, and enjoying and marinating in seasons that are fantastic. It's just so awesome that that level of faithfulness has helped build. All of this work is not in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, its people labor in vain. So thank God for people who are not fueled by their own strength, but fueled by what God has put in their heart and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Amen. The last thing that we'll finish with this morning is looking forward to 2026. One thing that I would love to encourage everybody is to write down a definition of success. What is your definition of success? We live in the Bay Area. Very motivated, highly educated people who are driven to see success. And I think that's fantastic. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it can be a troublesome thing, though, if our definition of success is in conflict with Scripture. That's where the trouble is. I actually believe that success has been predetermined by God and expressed through Scripture. And what often I've found is when I put down my goals and my vision and my dreams, there tends to be a lot of Mark in there. And if we went for what Mark was believing for in 2025, the testimony of what God's done would not even be close to what God's done. It was above and beyond all that we could hope for and imagine. And that's the God that we serve. And so my encouragement is that as you write your dreams, you write down your goals and your vision for 2026, is that there would be a unity with the Word of God. And remember this, God is telling His story through your life. It's not you showing God your story. It's us. The most challenging, confronting moment for me in 2025 was the realization of me not owning the definition of success and not owning the definition of worship. It wasn't something I dictated to God. It's now something that I surrendered my life to say, God, what is success? And please pluck from me, prune from me that which does not belong and that which is at war with what you define as success. And God faithfully has. He faithfully has. And it's as only as hard as your flesh allows it to be. It's actually not that hard, but flesh complicates it. Our carnal, inanimate mind rages war against our spirit. And this is what I love. Salvation is in this house. Salvation for someone who doesn't know Jesus. Sin for someone who doesn't know Jesus is a salvation issue. But sin for someone who knows Jesus, because we are justified in Christ, is now a purpose issue. It's a crowns and robes and heavenly reward issue. And so I want to make sure that in 2026, sin is not a distraction from the plan and the purpose and the story that God wants to tell through my life. God wants to tell a story through my life. I'm not going to let sin get in the way. I'm not going to sin patrol the church, I promise you that. You are master and commander of your ship. You stand before God and give an account. But for me, my heart is to serve and support and come alongside and in moments encourage to say, you know what, we want all that God has for us in 2026. I'm believing, and I believe that the hour is crucial. The world is wild right now. Just turn on TV. You want to see what the enemy's doing? Turn on the news. But if you want to know what God's doing, open your Bible in 2026. Open the Word of God and start digging deep into more intimacy with Him in 2026. We as a church are fasting, and maybe you're hearing this for the first time. There's a couple of messages online about fasting that I've done. One is the why we fast, and the other is how to fast. I'm not the medical expert on fasting, so this is a matter between you, God, and your doctor. That's my get out of jail, stay out of jail disclaimer right there. But as a church, we're seeking God in 2026 for what He's in January 2026 to see what God wants to do and the story that He wants to tell through His people and through this house. And I think it's really exciting to be a part of that. So I'm not asking anyone to fast, I'm inviting everyone to fast. That means this is not a control culture. Also, my heart towards fasting in 2026 is this: I've got my goal of what I want to do, but I'm not going to legalize it. And if I feel off, then I'll stop. Because the goal is intimacy with God, not hunger strike. Amen? It's to honor and get closer to Jesus. So if you set a goal and you don't make it, you didn't fail. You fell forward. It was not a failure. It was a going forward closer to God. That's the heart of exchange, and that's what I believe is the heart of God. And so as a church, we're going to seek God in 2026 and believe for all that He has for us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Let me pray, and we shall close the service. God, we just thank You for the privilege of gathering around Your Word this morning, and Lord, all of the different churches that are here represented, God, I speak favor. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, if there are any heart adjustments or head adjustments that need to be made, Lord, that You, the Holy Spirit, so tenderly, Lord, would start convicting and compelling. God, I pray, Lord, that You would purify hearts and renew minds, Lord, to see 2026 through Your lens. Holy Spirit, I pray as the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, I pray that they would be met, Lord, not just with a Logos word, but a word became Rhema. The word come alive. Holy Spirit, reveal, Lord, and equip, Lord, the strength to do what You've called, Lord, each pastor in this room to do. Lord, and not just every pastor, Lord, but the responsibility falls on all of us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be a new hunger and passion. Lord, rise up within your church. Lord, what would rise up within our hearts. God, I pray that there would be a leaning in, Lord, to your word, to your spirit, Lord, and to a sense of, Lord, what it is. We know that your spirit, Lord, reveals scripture and tells us about the future. So Holy Spirit, I pray divine dreams and visions, Lord, in this house. Lord, we believe for what your word promises. And God, I pray, Lord, that there would be, Lord, for people who have grown weary or tired, Lord, that there would be a refreshing, Lord, and a renewal, Lord, that would come over people. God, I pray, Lord, that the confession would change, that they're not at their end, but they're just at the beginning. Lord, we thank you that one word from you changes everything. One encounter with you changes everything. Lord, I pray for people in this room who once had an encounter and feel like they're at the end of that encounter. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that there would be a supernatural impartation in Jesus' name. Lord, and a reinvigoration, God, Lord, of moving in your spirit. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in 2025. God, we thank you for the trials that made us stronger. Lord, we thank you for the breakthroughs, Lord, that brought us closer to you. Lord, and we celebrate you in this house today. You're a good, loving God. Lord, we thank you for it. While everyone's eyes are closed, I'd love to extend an invitation for people to begin a relationship with Jesus. I think the world has told a story of who God is, and often it's a misrepresentation of the God of the Bible and the story of who Jesus is. The Bible says that sin separates us from God. And the most simplistic way that I can articulate that is darkness and light can't dwell in the same room. When you hit a light switch, that light fills the room. The Bible defines God. God is light. God is love. God is light. And so it's our sin that separates us from God. You just have to look around the world, the impact of sin, what it does to families, relationships, what it does to nations. And Jesus humbled himself on a cross and lived a perfect life, died for our sins so that we could be right reconciled back to our Heavenly Father. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And I believe that it's that simple. The enemy wants to complicate it. Our own head wants to complicate it. But it's that simple, that if we believe in our heart that Jesus did die and rose again, and we invite him to be Lord of our life, that we shall be saved. What I'd love to do is, usually in a room full of people, there's three groups. The first group, people who have a relationship with God. When you pray, you hear God speak back. Or when you read your Bible, you hear the Holy Spirit reveal it. Or when you worship, you feel his presence. And you and God are in a great place. But then there's a second group of people. You once were in that place, but now you find yourself distant and separate. And the Bible, and I believe that God creates moments like this so that we can be right reconciled. God wants us. He wants to be in relationship with us. And then there's the third group. Maybe you've never heard and you're hearing the gospel for the first time. And there's something within you that is reaching out saying, yes, I want to respond. I want to start a relationship with him. What I'm going to do is, if you're in the latter two, I'm going to count to three where everyone's eyes are closed. And if you say, yeah, that's me, I'm in that latter two, I want to receive prayer, I want to pray a prayer, then I'm going to simply count to three, and I want you to stick your hand up nice and high so I can see it. One, this is again making a recommitment. Two, this is making a first-time decision to invite Jesus into your heart. Three, that's you. Stick your hand up nice and high right now. Thank you, Jesus. This is the best gift that we can offer as a church, is your relationship with God, to begin a relationship with him. This morning you say, yes, it's Pastor Mark, that's where I'm at. I want to give my life. I've tried to live and control my life my way, but it's time to surrender lordship over to him. If that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you to respond. Fantastic. Well, everyone's eyes are closed. I'm going to pray a prayer. from my heart, but I encourage you to pray this, make this prayer yours, and pray it authentically, and know that God will hear this prayer. So in a loud voice, everyone together, dear God, I come to you today, and I ask for your forgiveness for all of the times that I've hurt you and all of the times that I've hurt others. Holy Spirit, help me and guide me to live each day for you. And so from my heart, with my mouth, I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's give God a hand. Amen. For people who prayed that prayer, you can come and chat with myself, or we'll have prayer partners on my left and right here after the service. Also, if there's anything happening in your world right now that you would love to include God in the conversation, then we love to pray with people and lay hands on and just believe with you and stand in the gap. So we encourage you to do that straight after the service. Also, we're called Exchange Community Church. We love the community bit. So don't just rush off and leave straight after. Hang out, meet some people. There's treasure. Become a treasure hunter. There's a lot of great people in Exchange. So I would encourage you to be part of that. Again, thank you for all of the pastors from out of town that have come in. We want to honor you for faithfully serving God. Sometimes on a wing and a prayer, sometimes in a great season, but it's awesome to be able to have host you this morning as well. Other than that, have a wonderful Sunday, and please enjoy this beautiful, averagely warm weather in here in Warrnambool. Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.